Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
We are in Acts chapter 4. Let's start in verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old, on whom the miracle of healing had been performed, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So when they had heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, 'Why did the nations rage, and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, to do whatever your hand on your and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with boldness they may speak your word, stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. And Lord, we just pray as we come before you, we pray for your Spirit to do his work in each of us. Lord, we pray that you would shake us, that you would fill us, that you would guide us, that Lord, that you would change us. Help each of us, Lord, come before you with an open heart to receive what your Spirit would minister to each of us and collectively. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, when I was a young man, believe it or not, I was at one time, and I was not married at the time, I learned something very quickly. Fast food gets really boring, so I started cooking at home, really pretty quick. I cooked at home even with my parents at times when they weren't there, so I knew how to cook basically, and plus, I did take some home ec classes in junior high and high school. Why, you may ask? Because I like to eat. And I figured, well, I get to cook, I get to eat, I like it. So there was something that I would make. It was very simple. With chicken. It was called shake and bake. Some of you older people probably remember that. But what all you did was, this is all you had to do. You took the powder that came with the kits. You put it in this bag, you put raw chicken in it, and you shaked it. And then you put it in a pan and baked it. Pretty simple. You make your rice or whatever, your noodles, whatever you want with it, and your vegetables. And it's pretty cool. Shake and bake. But there was another terminology that was used in a different terminology, too, in Southern California, and Melissa knows this, is that it was interesting that a lot of times when it was very hot, we would have an earthquake. So typically we called shake and bake. Earth shook and it was hot. We were baking. Shake and bake. I present to you something different this morning. Shake and fill. Shake and, if you will, refill. Now, that in mind, let us look at this. Remember, they were threatened. They were threatened after healing, through Christ's name, this lame man. For 40 years he was lame. And the leaders threatened them not to say anything to them, to anyone else about Jesus' name. What would you do? Where would you go? If you were threatened right now, somebody came in here and says, if you say anything anymore about this Jesus, where would you go? What would you do? Notice what they did. They went to their own companions. Nobody understands you better. I know this sounds so surprising, but it's true. Your relationship with Jesus Christ, nobody understands you better than another follower of Jesus Christ. What they do, they went back to their own. It's interesting because Paul in Colossians said this, talking about the Colossians, he says that their hearts may be encouraged as they come together, being knit together in love, attaining to all the riches, or if you will, the abundance of the full assurance. You're kind of getting the gel. Because see, when you come together, you talk about Christ, then what happens is, what do? Well, just like we were singing, it's the focus is on Christ, not us. And we're encouraged with each other. Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a family. And we are being knitted together in love. The Spirit works. But also, not only in the full riches of the assurance, but also of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 2, verses 2. The focus becomes on Him. We become knitted together. We become as one. We're to encourage each other. We're to learn with each other. And that's what they did. They went straight to their own. Why not? Who else is there to go to? Where else is there to go to? Peter and John told them how they were threatened. They met together. Now, we had that experience here. It wasn't that long ago. COVID was happening. And most churches were in some ways threatened to meet together. But we decided it was better for us to come together. Whatever was going to happen with this quote-unquote plague. But as we found, it's really just a very severe cold that the weak were really prone to. But not the healthy. And not those that really understand that meeting together is important. And you did that. Besides fear or anything else that may pertain to keep you away, no, we came together. And again, that's applause to us. Why? Because again, we find our encouragement with each other. We find our strength with each other. We find that we grow with each other. And if you will, that's what Peter and John and the rest of the fellows are thinking here. We need each other. We're being threatened, but again, they came together. Verse 24. So, when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. They together with one accord, one mind, one heart, one passion, one voice, what'd they do? They went to God. They went to God in prayer. Together. Not coming together saying, what are we going to do now? That would be kind of the human way of doing it. Let's get together. Let's have committees. Let's talk about this. What are we going to do? You guys think we should go up into the mountains? You guys think we should go out into the wilderness? What do you think we should do? No, they said with one accord, let's come together and let's pray. Let's ask God. Notice how they address God. They said, Lord. Now, that word is despotis. Now, what it means, if you will, it's used for an absolute relationship of a master to his slave. So what were they saying? They were coming before God and saying, together with one voice, hey, here we are. We belong to you. We're your property. They're threatening your property. They're threatening your body. They're threatening your bride. David had something to say about this, being threatened. Listen, I have called upon you, David said, for you will hear me. O God, incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Whoever touches you touches the apple of God's eye. Oh, you want further proof? Remember Paul persecuting the church. So the Lord just put a big spotlight on him, blind him, and then said these words. Even though, listen, Saul was persecuting the church, the Lord said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You touch my body, you touch me. Let that sink down into your heart and mind this morning. You are God's. You're His. No touchy. You are protected by Him. You are, if you will, covered in Him. They understood that. They're saying, Lord, hey, look, we belong to you. Notice too how now they address God as Creator. Why? I mean, we belong to you, Creator. Well, why would they do that? Well, Jeremiah helps us out with that too, I believe. Jeremiah says, oh Lord God, behold, you made the heavens and the earth. By your great power and outstretched arm, there is nothing too hard for you. Look, if you go to Genesis 1:1 and you see that God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth, what else is so hard about the rest of the book? When you see miracles, if God can create something out of nothing, what's so hard about anything else that goes on in this earth? And that's what these guys were doing. That's what this gang was doing together. This is what Knitted Together says. We're focused on you. We belong to you. You created everything. What's so hard about this to you? Nothing. Nothing is too hard for you. Now, look at verse 25. Who by the mouth of your servant David had said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? What's he doing? He's quoting the word of God. They went to God's word. They took God's word, was applicable to them, and said, look, they are, again, God's word. Why? When we struggle, when we're going through things, when we're talking about things, why do we put the emphasis on God's Word? Is God's Word, is it all in all? Is it everything we need? Yes. But again, it's only because of the God that stands behind the Word makes it what it is. Otherwise, if you read it just as a book, you've missed it. If you see it as the God who created all things, now it becomes alive. Powerful. God's word, God's promises, and Him is yes and amen. We go to that not because it's the thing to do, but because there's power in the word. There's truth in His promises. And we collectively come together, and that's what they are doing together, the church, the early church. They're coming together and say, hey, God, you said this was going to happen. You knew this was going to happen. He's quoting from Psalm chapter 2. Lord, in your word, you said that they were going to do this. What were they going to do? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For truly your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. You saw this happening. You knew this was going to happen. This was written before, centuries before. You saw this. In your word, you knew what was going to happen. Hey, gang, guess what? God knows what's going to happen in your life and our life together. God knows everything that's going on right now. And let me tell you, it's kind of weird what's going on right now in the world. Things are shaking. Oh, it's not God shaking it. Not yet. People are shaking it up. Things could be shook really quick by the hand of God, the hand of man. But thank God He's in control. Thank God He knows what's going on. Thank God He's got a plan. Thank God He's got a purpose. And that includes you. And that includes us. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. God's got a way of expressing that. But again, take note what they did. They came together as one. They went to God because they belonged to God. They brought up His Word because it's His Word, and His Word gives us promises and truth that we can hang our lives on. And all this to remember and to remind ourselves that we are His and He is ours. Look at verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Of his followers, it means servants. It's the word, actually, if you will, for bondservant. What does that mean? It means one who has given themselves completely up to the will of another, in this case, to Christ. We are yours. We belong to you. And everything we do, we submit unto you. Your will be done. So they're seeking His will, all of them. They were one. They have given themselves completely over to what God desires. And what did God desire of them? What was the mandate that God gave to them, what Christ gave to them? Everything else is going on. It seems screwy. Now remember, we know some things because we have prophecy written, Revelation and stuff. And they did too. But to them, the prophecy was up to Christ, if you will, at this moment. But he, in their mind at first, they were thinking he was coming, he was going to rule. But now Jesus taught them, no. I'm to suffer and die, but I'll rise again from the dead. But I'm coming back. But understand, I'm not leaving you as orphans, he says in John. I leave you my Holy Spirit. Now, leaving that, now we understand something. We have Scripture because all Scripture is given to us by God breathed. It's the inspiration of God. God's Spirit moved in the hearts of men to write down His Word. It's live. It's powerful. It's sharp than any two-edged sword. We understand these things, that God's Word is truth. But remember, they didn't have it all written out at this time. They didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They didn't have the book of Acts. They didn't have all the epistles. They didn't have Revelation. They had the Old Testament, and that's what they were holding on to. And it was good. But God was going to use them to write the New Testament. But Christ gave them a mandate. So they were saying, Lord, we understand something, what you told us to do. We're not asking you to deliver us out of this threat. We're not asking you to protect us. We're asking you to give us boldness to what? What did he say to them? Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Observe the teachings I have given you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. I'm with you. Whoever touches you touches me. I'm coming back for you. Understand that. But in the meantime, my Spirit is in you. Remember, stay here in Jerusalem until you're filled with the Spirit. And then go. Tell everybody. Through Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea. The other parts of the earth, go. So now they're saying, they're threatening us, they're telling us to stop. What do? We go to Him. Why? Because it's His word that He has given to us to go. They're telling us to stop. Creator of heaven and earth, the one who there's nothing too hard for, the one whom we belong to. We're only asking you this one thing. Give us the boldness, the courage to go forth and do your mandate. That's it. That's all they were asking. Oh, Lord, can you imagine? We'd be, oh, Lord, deliver us. You hear them, strike them, Lord. Give us the freedom, Lord. No. They realized something. Something that we, the church, not just this body, but the church of the world, especially the United States. We need to keep knocking on this door. We need to keep pursuing it. Why? Because God has something so much more for us, each of us. And it's to present who Christ is to this dying world with boldness, courage. Amazing, isn't it? How wonderful. Now look at verse 30. By stretching out your hand to heal, the signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Now we can understand why God used them so mightily. Why? Because they only had one mandate. That's it. Lord, make these signs and wonders happen so people could come to our tent. Oh, Lord, make these signs and wonders happen so that we can confirm, Lord, that, you know, we have the faith to do these things. No. Now, stretching out your hand applied to God's symbolism, His might, activity, and power through His servants, His body. What? To heal, make whole. Listen. Make whole physically. Yeah, I made whole physically this guy, but that wasn't really purpose. As you know something. God's desire is to transform, which means what? Make you whole. And ultimately, it will be physically. But in the meantime, if you are battling things, understand that God is so more concerned with you emotionally, mentally, spiritually. That's His desire. You and I would be whole. That's the desire of God for all humanity, that they would be whole and come into His presence and be His children. His desire in this sick sin world is to deliver people out of their sin, bring them into His presence, free them from the plague of sin, which attacks the mind, the soul, the body. Amazing. Fantastic. Wonderful. Sign and wonders, miracles and wonders by which God authenticates the message done through or by the means of only one name, and His name is not... Yeah, I was going to say something there, but I'm not going to. In the name of Jesus, to whom all the glory belongs, God's servants do not follow, listen, God's servants do not follow after signs and wonders. See, what usually happens, let's just say there's a healing here, all of a sudden, it's to the back of the wall. Wow. Signs and wonders. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. See, we're not to follow after signs and wonders. Signs and wonders should follow after believers. You're a walking, if you will, miracle. You have the living Spirit inside you, God's Spirit, who desires to use each of us in a bold new way. Not for our own tickling fancy, no, of course not. But for His purpose, for His glory, for His name. To share the truth to all humanity, that not only a testimony of our life to others, but also the possibility. Always the amazing possibility, the anticipation. Not will He do it or He could do it. And I have no doubt whether it's a healing or a deliverance. My job is not to pick out what God's going to do or beg what God is to do. Mine is just to expect that God will always do what's best in every given situation, which gives me anticipation. Wonder, what's He going to do now? What's He going to do next? And see, so many of us, we don't see the water move, if you will, the proverbial water to move. And we think, God doesn't hear. God's not listening. God's not moving. The reality is that God is always at the move. God's always working. First of all, in us. Second of all, through us. He's always at work. Oh, that we would have hearts of anticipation. Hearts that would be ready, willing, open. What are you going to do next, God? What? Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Could you imagine? Could you imagine right now this place shaken? I'm going to get in trouble for this. But just remind me of something. Talking about shake and bake, right? I have to talk like this. Shake and bake. So, when we were first married, my wife's from Nebraska, as you know. My bed was a king-size water bed. Don't ask. It was just what people did in the 70s. I still regret buying that thing. But anyway, it was one Sunday morning. It was summer. And there was a good shake, good earthquake. My wife, and I still don't remember full story, which I, like I said, I didn't think I was going to share this, but she was sunburned. I don't know if she was at the beach or sunbathing. Again, I'm not going to look at her to acknowledge because I'm in deep trouble. But the earth started to shake. My wife, who was baked, jumped out of bed and was wandering around because she was hurting one way, and the other way she didn't know where to go. And she just kept going, Luke, Luke, Luke. And I was standing in a safe place. I was like, over here. Therese, over here. Therese, over here. And I still remember, I'm really in trouble. I still remember when she came into my arms, she was like a little bird, and her heart, I could feel her heart. It was going. See, she was shook, and she was baked. And I'm. That was good. I am cooked. But just think right now, what would you do if God shook this place? What would you do if God filled you right now? Oh, remember something. You have the Holy Spirit in you, but really to be filled is something we're called upon to do daily, to be filled with His Spirit. Oh, not for my warm fuzzies. Not to make me a better person. I know that's surprising to you. No. To bear the fruit through me that He desires. How He desires. And to use me in the way He thinks best. Not me. But to have the boldness also to live out whatever it is He's commanding you to do at the moment. You imagine that? See, they were assembled together as one in Christ. They acknowledged that they belonged to God. They prayed according to God's word. They submitted to God and His will. And the place shook. Now, that word shaken, it's an interesting word. It means shake. I know you say duh. But it also means to shake thoroughly. Shaking its contents together as one. And if you will, that's what He did. Shook them together as one. But it also means to cast down from one's safe, secure, content state. Shook them out of the tree. Shook them out of their own fear. Shook them out of their own mindset. Brought them together as one. So they would be filled with His Spirit. Not that they can say, look at me, I speak in tongues. Look at me, I can do this, I can do that. Look at me, look at me. You laugh, but that's the way sometimes we feel. God, I want Your Spirit. And really, if we think about it, how do we want His Spirit to use us? How we want the Spirit to use us? No, that's not the way it works. It's jumping in and just floating down and say, whatever you desire. But I do ask this. Give me the boldness. Some of us are content with life the way it is. So let's get down to the seriousness of this. See, if God shook right now and he filled, then all of a sudden every one of us would have a totally different perspective of life. Each one of us would have different priorities. Each one of us would not see what we wanted, what we expected. But each one of us would just fall on our faces and says, Lord, you are God. Have your way. Can you imagine that? God's servants, under God's authority, speaking God's word, submitted to God's will, going in God's power, filled with God's Spirit. Amazing. How do we know that's happened with them? The world's changed because God used them. The world has never been the same. Why? Because of Jesus. But Jesus taking those closest to him, turning the world right side up. Now remember, I said something. See, there has to be something always. Don't ever lose sight of this. Don't ever. Always come with anticipation that God is going to move. Because he is moving. And it flows. And it really always comes down to, you willing to jump in? What's holding you back on the bank? What is it about our selfishness that we say, it's cold in there, Lord? Maybe then that's when we push somebody in, if we could. I'm too busy. I got so much stuff going on this week. Do you? He didn't know about it? Of course he did. What's holding you back? Your time? Your priorities? What holds us back? The cold? So many things. But really, what is it that he desires? Ah, so much more. The anticipation that God is going to use you and me. Each day. Let's pray. Father, just thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, we thank you as we come together as one, Lord, to pray, to understand what your word says. Also recognizing, Lord, we are not bold. And Father, forgive us for keeping back so much from you. But Lord, we come with great anticipation, asking willingly, desiring to be willingly. Lord, if there's anything that's in the way that keeps us from submitting to you, then we pray, Lord, that you'd remove it. Help us each to submit unto you. But help us also understand just the value and the blessing of being together as one. We seek your will, we seek your face, we seek your pleasure, not ours. We ask, Lord, that you would shake our lives up and that you would fill us, giving us the boldness to share what really is the solvent, the healing factor, the need, the peace, the love that this world craves, and it's found only in Christ, him above all, focused on him. He to be the glory and the praise and the honor forever and ever. And it's in his name we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.